If you were to go through English or British history and go through the various kings, there's a very interesting king. His name is Ethelred II. He was king of England at a difficult time in England's history, and he reigned in the last part of the 900s into the early 1000s. So I think he died in 1016 is when he died. He's sort of king on and off for maybe close to 15 years. It was a time when the Danish people were trying to invade England and hold them ransom for finances and money and slave labor and whatever. And now Ethel II was a good king in many ways, but he had one problem some of us can maybe identify with. He was a real procrastinator. He was not known for meeting a problem head on. If a decision could be put off till tomorrow, he'd wait till the day after tomorrow. That's just how he reigned. That's how he functioned. He hated making decisions. He somehow hoped by waiting and delaying the problem would go away. Well, that's not how you defend your country. And as the Vikings were, they were sort of the scourge of Europe at the time. And they tried to invade England and sometimes were partially successful, not always totally successful. I think there's once when they were totally successful. But on one particular point where the Danes were coming in, and they were known for their extortion, Ethelred always paid them off. Well, look, if I give you 22,000 pounds of gold and silver, will you sort of back off and don't kill my people? So, okay, and they called the Danegeld. And so they would, that's how the British, they just worked for the Danes. But finally, the Danes decided, no, we want to actually rule England. And so they came in with all their forces, and they defeated England. And King Sweyn became the king of England for a little while. And true to his habits, the day after the war was over, when the Danes defeated England, Ethelred showed up for the war with some of his troops. He was always, always late. And historians, looking back, have given him a different name. He is not called Ethelred II. He is now known, if you will check him on the internet, he is now known as Ethelred the Unready. He was never ready for anything. Always delaying, delaying, delaying. Ethelred the Unready. That's how history looks at him. Wonder, that might not be true of some of us. Are we really ready when Jesus comes? We saw last week the importance of knowing and dealing with Jesus, because he is equal in person with the Father, with God. He is equal in works. He is equal in power and sovereignty. He is equal in judgment. And he is equal in honor. And so for us to honor God, we have to honor the Son whom he sent. And if we don't honor Jesus, we don't honor the Father who sent him. And we looked last Sunday at how important it is to know Jesus. He is the only one who will give us life, who will be our judge in the end. All judgment will be given to him. And so he will continue on that theme, saying, I have the power to resurrect, and I have the power to judge. And he's giving us all his credentials now. I'll never forget when I was pastoring in Manton, and a woman in her 60s and her daughter in her 40s were on their way to Claresholm, and they were killed by a drunk driver just a little ways outside of Claresholm. This is back in the 80s. And there's some huge lawsuits over that. And as the two husbands were suing the drunk driver, and I attended some of the court proceedings at Fort McLeod. And at one point, they brought in their lawyer brought in an expert. They flew her in from Canada, who was an expert in certain things about traffic situations. And it was my first time I really sat in on a court hearing, and I saw the process unfold as the lawyer introduced this star person that was going to come in and work on behalf of his clients. And the lawyer began by introducing to the judge this person that they had flown and gave all her education, gave all her credentials, all the degrees, all the various experiences, all the various successes in her work so far, and why she was an expert in this field, why she should be considered an expert witness, and why he should receive her to come into his presence and present the case on behalf of these two men from Nanton who are now without their wives. And it was just interesting, just as he listed all the credentials. By the time he was finished giving the credentials, you're like, who could ever fight that? Wow, the credentials were mile long. And they flew her in from somewhere, and they just brought in the best expert in this area that assessed traffic accidents and that would sort of support the lawsuit. What we have here is a continual list of his credentials. Well, when Jesus is done, you're going to go and look, wow, how are you going to fight with him? Look at his credentials. Look at all that he is. Look at all that he will do. I have to listen to him. He is the voice in this area. And there's two areas that he will continue to talk about. He has the power for spiritual resurrection, and he has the power for a physical resurrection. There are two different resurrections that are taking place. One is spiritual, one is physical. The term resurrection implies something or someone is dead. You only resurrect what is dead. You heal what is sick. You resurrect what is dead. And so the time has come for those who hear the truth to cross into life from death. It's from death to life. There will be a spiritual resurrection taking place. We need Jesus to bring about a spiritual resurrection from the spiritual deadness. Because the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, let me share just a few characteristics about death. Number one, dead people are not sick. You know that? Dead people are not sick. Dead people don't need healing. They need a resurrection. Our problem is not that we are not well. Our problem is that we are dead. You see, if we just weren't well, then religion could make us better. But we're dead. We need someone with power to resurrect us to life. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had zero status with God. Only Jesus can come in and resurrect our dead relationship with him and bring it to life. So dead people are not sick. Secondly, dead people are powerless. Dead people don't respond. Thirdly, dead people are insensitive. They don't listen when you talk. They're never hungry. They can't respond to stimuli. You know, there are certain people who can hear a gospel presentation and there's no response. Zero, zilch. They're dead. It just goes right over. Doesn't touch them a bit. Not because they're sick, but because they're dead. Just can't respond to spiritual stimuli. And fourthly, a dead person is in a state of decay. The longer sin grips our lives, the more it takes a hold and brings further devastation. And ultimately, when you see people on skid row, they have allowed sin to come in and bring spiritual decay till they finally, there's just nothing that they see of value in life. They've to have hit the bottom in absolutely every way. They're in a state of decay. So how do dead people receive life? It has to be an act of God. Look at verse 25. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who hear will live. That brings us to a very obvious question. How do dead people hear? I thought you're dead. How did the dead hear? Well, all I can say is this. God has given the dead the ability to respond. He stirs and creates within us the ability to respond to stimuli. He is the only one who can work in our hearts. Clever methods don't raise the dead. Only the power of God raises the dead. So God has the ability to speak into something that is dead and stir it, bring it to life. And He does it by speaking into our lives. And there's something about the voice of God that brings the dead to life. Something stirs. He makes people alive by His voice. Notice verse 25. When the dead will hear who? Whose voice will they hear? Not in this time when the dead will hear the voice of Christians. Christians can't save people. Only God can. It is the voice of the Son of God that can bring the dead back to life. And Ephesians 2:4 says that God has made us alive together with Christ. And just two verses, He said you were dead in your sins. Then two verses later, He says, but God made us alive. And so God somehow spiritually resurrects us and gives us the ability to respond and to hear and to receive. That is what we call a spiritual resurrection. You know, when I think about this, and I see people around me who don't know Christ, it reminds me how far they actually are removed from God. Oh, they smile. How are you, Art? Good to see you, man. And we have this social relationship. But spiritually, they are not sick. They are. And it takes a divine miracle to stir their hearts with spiritual stimulus. So it's so important that we be in prayer for our friends, our family, our community. Because our voice won't do it. Only the voice of the Son of God can make dead people hear. Now there's three insights I have here about eternal life. Go back to verse 24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I'm going to share just three quick insights about eternal life. Number one, it is a present position. Notice, has crossed over from death to life. You know what has means? It means you got it. He has it. He's got it. Eternal life is something I has right now. I have right now. He has. It's in the present tense. I got it now. Secondly, it's not only present possession, but it is a permanent possession. He has crossed over from death into life. That term, crossed over, or some translations say, passed over from death to life. That term, crossed over, in the Greek means to move from one house to another house. It means you have changed locations. You don't live there anymore. You don't reside there anymore. You have changed locations. Now, you can go to a brand new house and you go, oh, smell of fresh paint, fresh carpet. Everything's so clean, no dust. 2 months later, you wonder where the beauty is gone. Dust all over. Clothes on the floor. Ketchup on the walls. Spaghetti on the ceiling if you got kids. Doesn't always look only clean, but I'll tell you what, you're still living in a new location. Sometimes it looks a little messy, but you're still in a new location. It is a permanent possession. When you have eternal life, you got it for life. And guess what? That's why it's called eternal life. Would I guess? We've crossed from death to life. It is now a permanent status. In fact, as crossed over in the Greek is what we call in the present perfect tense. Anything in the perfect tense in the Greek language means something of permanence. That's why it's called eternal. Why? It's permanent. It's present. It's permanent. And it is precious. Because it says literally in the Greek, has crossed over from death into the life. It is the only life that comes from God. And it says, we will not be condemned because we crossed over into life. The word condemned means to be separated. We will never be separated when we change locations. We are now in God's house. It's messy sometimes, but we're in God's. It's a different location. It's permanent, and it is a precious possession where our sins and our mess is paid for in full. That's what God does with dead people. He brings them to live in a different realm. We are alive with His eternal life forever. And the time has come now. You know, the church is growing like crazy. Just read last week, or so, I think Rachel mentioned it, maybe from the Servant magazine. In Canada, the church is dying. In Syria, the church is growing. The church is growing in many, many places around the world. It's growing. And Christianity is growing faster than the rate of our population. It is growing immensely in places of the Middle East, South America, and various parts of Asia. The church is on the move. And the time is now. All over the world, spiritually dead people are resurrected to life. Jesus spoke them to their hearts. Particularly if they're Muslims, a lot of them are seeing and hearing from Jesus in dreams. God is revealing Himself to them. And as the Word is being declared, it just brings them to life. Time has come, and it is now. And it's an exciting time for the church. Some of us in North America are depressed. We don't see the growth of the church. Is on the march. And it could be here as well. What is verse 26? For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. It's all about Jesus. He is the one who gives life. Now, folks, you can only give what you have. Jesus. And so we come to Him. He raises the spiritually dead. Well, very quickly, we've had a full morning. It's been a rich morning. And I just want to go now from the sort of the spiritual resurrection, which is a reality that happens every moment around the world. And we are praying we'll have more in our community. There also will be a physical resurrection. Verse 27, He has given Him authority to judge because He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. A time is coming. Now notice verse 27. And He has given Him authority to judge because He is the Son of Man. Why is He the Son of God when He gives life, and He is the Son of Man when He judges? Because I think it'd be very easy for people at judgment to say, okay, well, God, you know what? Hey, hello, this isn't fair. You've never been in our shoes. You're God. You're always up there, you're a celestial being, and everything is perfect, there's no sin. But we live in a mess. And you're ruling from your ivory tower. You don't understand how hard it is to live with temptation and with testing and with all the junk in our life. You aren't fair. You know what God can say? I came down in flesh and I became the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, I have the authority and the right to judge because I've been there. I understand it. I walked your walk. And I know it's possible. I can give you the strength to do it. I understand. Been there, done that t-shirt. Therefore, Jesus is the judge. Because he's been there. He knows what it's like. He's giving us the spiritual power to come to life, live his life. He has therefore the right to judge us as well. That right. That gives him the right then to come and to raise us all from the dead to stand before him who will then judge us. So verse 28, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. Four quick things about the resurrection. First of all, there is a future for our physical bodies. I'm looking forward to that. I always consider myself short and fat. I am looking forward to a new body. No hair loss. No wrinkles. No cold sores. No ingrown toenail. No aches and pains. No arthritis. I haven't worn a watch. I haven't worn my wedding ring for 30 years. The moment I put a ring on, the arthritis just flares up. Can't take it in and out. It's just so much pain. Arthritis has done a real number on me. So I've got to be very careful what I wear. But I am still married. You know that. I'm looking forward to a new body. You know, cancer has taken such a toll on people's bodies. The Bible says there's going to be a death. There will be a resurrection. Jesus will do it. And if I have had spiritual resurrection, there's going to be physical resurrection coming up. I'm going to get this new body. And it's going to be like living in heaven for the rest of eternity. Of course, I will. Once I have that new body, it'll be heaven all the way. The moment I became a Christian, I received a new spirit. As I continue to live like a Christian, I am receiving a new soul. It's continually becoming more and more like Jesus. And one day, I will receive a new body. I received, I am receiving, and I will receive. But one day, I will be complete. Right now, I'm still under construction. Lots of work needs to be done. God's doing that. There is a future for our physical bodies. There is a resurrection coming. Secondly, the resurrection of the body involves a program of time. And when we see verse 28, 29, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. The word for time is actually the word for hour. An hour is coming when all hear my voice will rise from the grave. Now, that makes it sound that there is a time in the future when all the millions and the billions of we will all rise at the same hour. Well, that's not necessarily true. Because the word for hour in the Gospel of John, 14 out of 15 times, is used by John and referred to as a period of time. John doesn't use the word hour in terms of a block, 60 minutes. For example, John 12:23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Well, that took more than an hour. Now, he said it on a Thursday, but he wasn't crucified till Friday. He didn't rise from the dead till Sunday. He didn't ascend to heaven 40 days after that. So that hour to be glorified took almost 45 days. John 3:23, an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. And that hour has existed for 2,000 years. But there is an hour. There is a period of time coming. And everyone will hear their voice. And there is an order. And I don't have time to look at all the orders. There's various resurrections. There's more than one resurrection. There's a resurrection for the Christians. There's a resurrection for those who died during the Great Tribulation. There's a resurrection after the millennium, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, when all the spiritually dead people will be raised for the great white throne judgment. There are various resurrections. But the point is, His voice will resurrect everyone. No one will be missed. When all hear His voice, we will be raised. Everyone. The third point is this. There are two different resurrections that establish our destinies. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Now those who live, actually it's the word for resurrection. I wish the NIV had done a bit of a better job on that. There will be a resurrection into life and a resurrection into condemnation. Two different resurrections. To live or to be condemned. And fourthly, our relationship to Jesus will determine which resurrection I'll experience. Will I experience a resurrection into His life, or will I experience a resurrection into eternal condemnation? That is very clear. Now, just before we come to our application, because our time is basically done, you will notice verse 29. Those who've done good will rise to live. Those who've done evil will rise to be condemned. And there are those who say, see, your good works will determine which way you go. And I've heard sermons in some mainline churches at funerals where they preach that. And I remember one time we had a young gal that was in our Pioneer Club program. And she was out riding her horse. The horse bucked her off, and she hit the metal railing in the corral. She was killed. And her mom attended a different mainline church, so the funeral was there. The place was packed. Almost 600 people, mainly young people. Most of the high school was all there. And the pastor quoted from here, from Matthew, those who do good to will live, those who do. And he said, listen, he said, don't believe the evangelicals when they say you have to be born again. You just have to do good and you'll live. I'm sitting in the back row. I'm seething with holy anger. I'm going, buddy, you are going to burn one day for saying that. You have a huge judgment on your hands. And at his farewell from that church, when he was moved on to another location, I won't tell you where, you might recognize it, a couple of people from that church were there at the going away lunch him. And in his final address to the people, he said again, he said, let me assure you, don't believe the evangelicals when they say you have to be born again. You just have to be good. And the people stood and gave him a standing ovation. And it is a misunderstanding of what this is talking about. The Bible says in John 6:28, and they asked Jesus, what must we do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. That is the good work. That is the good deeds, is to believe in Him who has sent. All our deeds are to reflect, Jesus has changed my life. All the evil deeds of people who don't believe is evidence they haven't heard the voice of Jesus and responded to it. He's talking about the result in faith that results in an evidence of good life or evil life. But Jesus makes it very clear. next chapter. Good work is to believe what it has come for us. Our relationship to Jesus will determine which resurrection we will experience. Well, just very quickly then, our time is up. Just a few things for us to ponder. Number one, our destiny is not based on what people say, but on what Jesus says. You know, there's so many people who tell their friends, "Oh, don't worry, you don't believe that. Oh, come on. That's this religious garbage." And people are swayed by other people. But the Bible says that there will come a day when they're going to hear Jesus' voice. They're going to have to answer. They will answer what to do with his voice. It's his voice that counts, not people's. Too many people would rather base their belief on other people's or pastors' reviews who don't believe what the Bible says. Robert Ingersoll, who was a very famous lawyer and atheist in the late 1800s, once delivered a blistering lecture on hell. He called hell, quote, "the scarecrow of religion." He told his audience how unscientific it was, how all intellectual people had decided there was no such thing. Well, a drunk in the audience came up to him afterward and said, "Bob, I liked your lecture. I like what you said about hell. But Bob, I want you to be sure about what you said because I'm depending on you." Folks, our destiny is not based on what people say. It's based on what Jesus says. There's coming a time when all will hear his voice and come out of the grave and either be to a resurrection of life or resurrection of condemnation. Secondly, the decision to follow Jesus is too important to procrastinate. It's too important to procrastinate. There's an old legend, and so when I say legend, you know now it's not a true story, okay? It's just a legend. But demons in hell holding a strategy conference, deciding how can we stop the work of Jesus on this earth? And they thought, well, okay, the winning strategy would probably be this. Tell people that tomorrow is soon enough to make a decision. No point telling them it's not true because people probably believe it's true, but they think, well, but I've got time. I don't have to deal with it right now. And so they decided the best strategy was to say, just wait for another time. Just wait for another time. I did that since a kid. Oh, I'll wait. Oh, I'll wait. Went to Bible school. Oh, I'll wait. I'll wait. I'll wait. Some people keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And they think they have lots of time. I just did a funeral Friday night in Medicine Hat for a 38-year-old woman that died in her sleep. 38. Then an autopsy. They don't know why she died. We don't know when our time is. This is too important to procrastinate. Don't be another Ethelred the Unready. Thirdly, God's Word has the power to make people hear God and receive life. It's His voice. How do we hear His voice? Well, listen to this. 1 Peter 1:23. "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." I am born again. I am made alive through the words of Jesus as I read it and I hear Him speaking to me with His Word. Those who hear His words in His Word will be saved. It's the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is being spread in Sochi and in Brazil and all over. It's the Word of God. That's the voice of God speaking. Believe. Turn. Accept. Receive. But lastly, today, you can make that decision to follow His voice. Today, you can make a decision to say yes. There's an old Chinese proverb. It goes like this. I've shared it with you before. The best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago. The second best time is today. Have you made that decision? Say yes to Jesus. We're going to close with a prayer and a song. Let's just stand in prayer as we again just acknowledge to the Lord that His voice we need to hear, that our community needs to hear. We're going to pray for our community. Give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus yourself and then close with a song. So you just pray quietness in your heart with me as I pray out loud. Lord, I want to say thank you that trust what 19 years old. I changed locations. I heard your voice. You awakened me. You made me alive, Jesus. And I changed locations from life spiritual death to life spiritual to from spiritual death to spiritual life. You gave me a very precious gift. You gave me. I'm very ready. Thank you for the confidence I have. One day, your voice will call again. Be raised to a new resurrection. Get a new body. New life. Not the condemnation. Lord, because of that spiritual resurrection you gave me, I'm ready. For some day, should I be in the grave? I'll be raised. My body will be raised. I'll get a new body. Reunited with my spirit and soul. I'll be completely forever and ever. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that they just procrastinated it. They believe it, but it's never given up. Never given up. Lord, today, if they're hearing your voice, I pray you would stir them in such a way today and say yes. I pray that there will be a spiritual resurrection in the next few moments in this world. Lord, I pray for each someone here that haven't yet said yes to Jesus, received His eternal life. Right now, as you're stirring your heart, you're hearing from you, saying, it's time. It's time. I am the resurrection. He who believes in me will live if he die. Or should there be a heart by today saying, help me right now. Right now, your heart is to open up and say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe you're speaking to me right now. I open my heart and I say, thank you for speaking to me. Right now I'm asking you to make me alive. Come into my life. Ignite your spirit with my spirit. Give me a new spiritual resurrection. Make me alive in you. All the life of God. My heart. Take control of my heart. Wash away all my sins. Give me a new start. Thank you for hearing. Thank you that you allowed me to hear your voice. You are now making it.
I claim you as my Lord and Savior are now given me. By faith, I declare that I am now alive ever and ever. It is eternal. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my heart. Thank you. So thank you for reaching to my heart. Lord, put it in my heart. Share it with someone today. I just became a new person. I experienced new spiritual resurrection. Alive with God. Father, I pray that you give us a new awareness. People we work with, people we live alongside our communities. Lord, make us only your voice. Only your voice can be. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our friends. Oh, Lord, speak again. Speak again. Be gracious. Open their hearts. Help them to hear you. Help them to be faithful, to encourage them, to come to you. Cry out to you, to your Savior. Jesus' name. If you have made that commitment today, why don't you share that with someone? In particular, I'd like to hear it. You come to the door and you've prayed that prayer today. Say, Pastor, prayed that prayer. Share the love. Share the truth.